Good morning. Good to see everyone here this morning. If you would, open your Bibles with me to 2 Timothy chapter 4. Beginning in verse 1. It says, I solemnly charge you in the presence of God and of Christ Jesus, who is to judge the living and the dead, and by his appearing in his kingdom, preach the word, be ready in season and out of season. Reprove, rebuke, exhort with great patience and instruction. For the time will come when they will not endure sound doctrine, but wanting to have their ears tickled, they will accumulate for themselves teachers in accordance to their own desires, and will turn away their ears from the truth and will turn aside to myths. But you, be sober in all things, endure hardship, do the work of an evangelist, fulfill your ministry. In this passage, Paul is encouraging Timothy as a young evangelist to fulfill the mission that he has been given, and that is to preach the word. And he encourages them to preach the word, he says, in season and out of season. In season, I believe, is talking about when the people are receptive to the word of God. There will be times when people are receptive and accept God's word, and also there will be times when people reject God's word. And that's when he tells them to continue to preach the word, even if it is out of season. So what time are we in today? I think that's a question that's worth consideration. I believe for many people in the world today, we are out of season. There are many in the world today who do not want to hear the word of God. And in fact, as he warns here, there are people who are accumulating what we might call ear ticklers, accumulating for themselves teachers who will teach the things that they want to hear rather than the full truth of the gospel. And that's a strong warning that we all need to pay attention to. And we all have the obligation to continue to seek God's word and his truth and to speak it to those around us, whether they want to hear it or not. I'd like to turn to Psalms chapter 78. A good portion of my lesson this morning is going to be in the book of Psalm chapter 78. And I'll have it up on the screen. If you want to follow along on your Bibles, you can, but it will be up here. Hopefully you can read it. Psalms chapter 78. This is a psalm that was written by a man named Asaph. And I'm going to read through this whole chapter. It's kind of lengthy, but I'm going to read through it and comment on it. Listen, O my people, to my instruction. Incline your ears to the words of my mouth. I will open my mouth in a parable. I will utter dark sayings of old, which we have heard and known, and our fathers have told us. We will not conceal them from their children, but tell to the generation to come the praises of the Lord, and his strength and his wondrous works that he has done. The psalmist encourages us to listen, he says, to incline your ears. You think about the idea of inclining your ears. It's kind of like you want to hear something that's important and you're going to kind of lean towards it with your ear because you want to hear this message. You don't want to miss it. This is something that's very important. And I believe the message of this psalm is very important for us today. It's a message that's not new. He says it is known from old times. It is based on the truth that's been revealed in God's word from ages past. And we must not forget these lessons of the past, lest we wind up repeating the failures of the past. And the message should bring praise to the Lord for his strength and his many wondrous works. And that's the response that we should be giving to the delivering of the word of God, the preaching of God's word. Beginning in verse 5, he continues, he says, "For he established a testimony in Jacob and appointed a law in Israel, which he commanded our fathers, that they should teach them to their children, that the generation to come might know, even the children yet to be born, that they may arise and tell them to their children, that they should put their confidence in God, and not forget the works of God, but keep his commandments, and not be like their fathers, a stubborn and rebellious generation, a generation that did not prepare its heart, and whose spirit was not faithful to God." This testimony of God has been established from long ago. That's what he says there in verse 5. And we must teach it to the next generation. We have an obligation and a responsibility to teach it to the next generation, because sadly and tragically, the history of the world has shown time and again that every generation must be taught the Word of God and must respond to the Word of God and will be held accountable for their response to God's Word. And we cannot slack off and forget a generation, because tremendous damage can be done if just one generation forgets about God and His Word. We must have confidence in, we must have remembrance of, and we must have obedience to God. We must be confident. And that's why it's so important that we teach the Word of God, so people can understand that God is true to what He has said and what He has promised. We must remember it, because there's valuable lessons in it. And it must bring about obedience on our part. We've got to respond. And we cannot be stubborn or rebellious. But instead, he says, we must be prepared and faithful. This is the response that God is seeking for from those who would come to Him, those who would hear His Word. Prepared, faithful people, not stubbornness and not rebellion. Beginning in verse 9, "The sons of Ephraim were archers, equipped with bows, yet they turned back in the day of battle. They did not keep the covenant of God and refused to walk in His law. They forgot His deeds and His miracles that He had shown them. He wrought wonders before their fathers in the land of Egypt, in the field of Zoan. He divided the sea and caused them to pass through, and He made the water stand up like a heap. Then He led them with a cloud by day and all the night with a light of fire. He split the rocks in the wilderness and gave them abundant drink like the ocean depths. He brought forth streams also from the rock and caused waters to run down like rivers." God has equipped us, and we must fight the good fight. Just like these people that He's mentioned here. God equipped them. We must remember, and we must rely on the strength that comes from God. We're in a battle. Throughout our lives here, we are in a battle, and we'll be in a battle until the last breath that we draw here on the earth. But God has provided the tools and the strength that we need. And He gives the example here of the children of Israel that were slaves in Egypt in horrible conditions. And God freed them from their slavery and brought them out of that land of slavery into the promised land. And He led them through the wilderness and provided for them all that they needed. And all He expected from them was for them to remember Him and to rely on His strength. Yet, it says here in verse 17, they still continued to sin against Him, to rebel against the Most High in the desert. And in their heart they put God to the test by asking food according to their desire. You know, God provided them food, but they weren't satisfied with the food He provided them. They had their own desires. Then they spoke against God. They said, "Can God prepare a table in the wilderness? Behold, He struck the rocks so that waters gushed out and streams were overflowing. Can He give bread also? Will He provide meat for His people?" God will provide our needs in spite of our difficulties. We must have faith in Him and recognize that He will provide in spite of our difficulties. And God considers the lack of thankfulness as rebellion. That's something very serious for us to think about. Are we thankful for what God provides us, even if it's not exactly what we had hoped and wished for? If we're not thankful, God considers that rebellion. And this is a perfect example. We must be satisfied and thankful with what God provides to us. Continuing in verse 21, "Therefore the Lord heard and was full of wrath, and a fire was kindled against Jacob, and anger also mounted against Israel, because they did not believe in God and did not trust in His salvation. Yet He commanded the clouds above and opened the doors of heaven. He rained down manna upon them to eat, and He gave them food from heaven. Man did eat the bread of angels. He sent them food in abundance. He caused the east wind to blow in the heavens, and by His power He directed the south wind." Acknowledging God and belief in God are not the same. Think about that. In verse 22 there, he said, because they did not believe in God and did not trust in His salvation. How could these people have not believed in God? God manifested Himself in their presence more so than any generation of man has ever been on the face of the earth. They saw and heard the sound of God's voice on Mount Sinai. They saw the waters rise as they walked through the sea. They saw the 10 plagues that God brought upon Egypt. And they saw that they were delivered from all of these things. They saw God swallow up Pharaoh and his armies. They had tremendous evidence of God's existence. And I would venture to say they had to acknowledge God. But yet, belief is not the same thing. And that's important for us to recognize. We may acknowledge that God exists, but that's not the same as believing in Him. We must trust Him, and that trust means faith and obedience, especially in times of uncertainty. That's what we're in today, right? We're in times of uncertainty. Who here can say when this virus is going to be over with? When is this pandemic coming to an end and everything going back to normal? None of us can say that. We are in uncertain times. But yet, during these uncertain times, that's when our faith in God needs to be the strongest. God provided, think about this for a minute, God provided daily food and water for millions of His people in a barren desert. And it wasn't just for a few days. They wandered in that wilderness for 40 years. For 40 years, and God provided them with food and water in a desert place. We can know that the victory will occur even when the future is unclear. And that should give us great comfort and faith and strength. We don't know what the future holds. We don't know who's going to be the next to catch this virus and how bad it's going to affect them. We don't know these things. But we can know the outcome if we remain faithful to God. And we can know that we will be on the side of victory. Continuing in verse 27, he says, "When He rained meat upon them like the dust, even winged fowl like the sand of the seas, then He let them fall in the midst of their camp, round about their dwellings. So they ate and were well filled, and their desire He gave to them. Before they had satisfied their desire, while the food was in their mouths, the anger of God rose against them and killed some of their stoutest ones and subdued the choice men of Israel. In spite of all this, they still sinned and did not believe in His wonderful works. So He brought their days to an end in futility, and their years in sudden terror." Greed and grumbling leads to grief. And that was the problem that he's talking about here in these verses. God provided them with manna and what they needed in the wilderness to live and to survive. But yet they continued to grumble and continued to have greed. And it led to grief and destruction. sinful rebellion, in the end, led to the destruction of the nation of Israel. This great kingdom that God promised and gave to them, eventually they were all carried off into captivity because of their continued sin and rebellion against God. And these are lessons that we know, but we must be teaching these to our children, to the next generation. And we must be making application of the message and of the lessons to our lives even today while we're going through these uncertain times. Continuing in verse 34, when he killed them, then they sought him and returned and searched diligently for God. And they remembered that God was their rock, but the Most High God their Redeemer, But they deceived him with their tongue and lied to him with their mouth and lied to him with their tongue. For their heart was not steadfast toward him, nor were they faithful in his covenant. But he, being compassionate, forgave their iniquity and did not destroy them. And often he restrained his anger and did not arouse all his wrath. Thus he remembered that they were but flesh, a wind that passes and does not return. God, in his mercy and compassion, forgives those who repent and obey. And that's a tremendous message of hope for us. Because none of us here can claim that we are perfect. None of us here can claim that we have not rejected God and that we have not fallen prey to temptation and sin. We have all. But yet, if we will acknowledge our sin, repent our sin, and turn to God, he has promised us his mercy and compassion. God knows our frailty. He remembers there in verse 39, says, thus he remembered that they were but flesh, a wind that passes and does not return. God knows what our frailty is, and he defines love for us in the fact that he sent his only begotten Son to die on the cross because of our frailty, because of our weakness, and because of our sin. Continuing, verse 40. How often they rebelled against him in the wilderness and grieved him in the desert. Again and again they tempted God and pained the Holy One of Israel. Our attitudes, our words, and our actions have an emotional effect on our Holy Father. Let me repeat that. Our attitudes, my attitude, my words, and my actions have an emotional effect upon God, our Creator and Sustainer. That should really cause us to think. I'm convinced that's part of the reason why God has asked us to observe this Lord's Supper as we do every Lord's Day. When we do this, we should be thinking about our actions, our attitudes, and our words, and the effect that it has on God. And we should be correcting the things that are wrong, correcting our attitudes and our emotions, our words, I'm sorry, and our actions. We must stop causing God to feel grief and pain, but rather, let's cause God to feel gladness and joy. And that can happen if we will faithfully obey him. Verse 42, continuing. They did not remember his power, the day when he redeemed them from the adversary, when he performed his signs in Egypt and his marvels in the field of Zoan, and turned their rivers to blood and their streams they could not drink. He sent among them swarms of flies which devoured them and frogs which destroyed them. He gave also their crops to the grasshopper and the product of their labor to the locust. He destroyed their vines with hailstones and their sycamore trees with frost. He gave over their cattle also to the hailstones and their herds to bolts of lightning. God speaks through plagues. The scriptures are very clear. There's numerous times where we can see examples of God speaking to man through plagues. Are we listening? It's something for us to think about. Verse 49, continuing, he sent upon them his burning anger, fury and indignation and trouble, a band of destroying angels. He leveled a path for his anger. He did not spare their soul from death, but gave over their life to the plague, and smote all the firstborn in Egypt, the first issue of their virility in the tents of Ham. But he led forth his own people like sheep, and guided them in the wilderness like a flock. He led them safely so that they did not fear, but the sea engulfed their enemies. Even, and I would say especially, during plagues, God is aware of and provides for his children. And we should draw great comfort from that. And we should desire to be numbered among those who are the children of God. Verse 54, continuing, so he brought them to his holy land, to this hill country which his right hand had gained. He also drove out the nations before them and apportioned them for an inheritance by measurement, and made the tribes of Israel dwell in their tents. Yet they tempted and rebelled against the Most High God and did not keep his testimonies, but turned back and acted treacherously like their fathers. They turned aside like a treacherous bow, for they provoked him with their high places and aroused his jealousy with their graven images. Prosperity without thankful obedience leads to treacherous rebellion. You know, we live in the most prosperous land on the face of the earth. We have lived through tremendous prosperity. But if we are not thankful, the outcome is treacherous rebellion. When God heard, he was filled with wrath and greatly abhorred Israel, so that he abandoned the dwelling place at Shiloh, the tent which he had pitched among men, and gave up his strength to captivity and his glory into the hand of the adversary. He also delivered his people to the sword and was filled with wrath at his inheritance. Fire devoured his young men, and his virgins had no wedding songs. His priests fell by the sword, and his widows could not weep. Every generation is held accountable to God. That certainly should be clear when you read through these Old Testament histories that God has provided to us. Just because one generation is faithful to God does not mean that the next generation will be. Tragically, each generation is held account to God, just as we will be held account to God, and our children and our children's children will be held accountable to God. And so while we are still here on the earth, we have the obligation to be teaching them God's word and to encourage them to learn these important lessons. Then the Lord awoke as if from sleep, like a warrior overcome by wine. He drove his adversaries backward. He put on them an everlasting reproach. He also rejected the tent of Joseph and did not choose the tribe of Ephraim, but chose the tribe of Judah, Mount Zion, which he loved. And he built a sanctuary like the heights, like the earth which he has founded forever. He also chose David, his servant, and took him from the sheepfolds. From the care of the ewes with suckling lambs, he brought him to shepherd Jacob, his people, and Israel, his inheritance. So he shepherded them according to the integrity of his heart and guided them with his skillful hands. God hears the cries of those who truly seek him, and he provided a Savior. This is the great, great blessing of the gospel of Jesus Christ, that God hears the cries of those who seek him, and he provided a Savior. Friday night we sang this song in our Friday night singing, and this to me kind of inspired me for this lesson. Take time to be holy. We're all familiar with this song. The passage that this is credited as being with the song is from 1 Peter chapter 1, verse 16, where God says, "Be ye holy, for I am holy." And the song starts out, "Take time to be holy." Take time. To me, that means two things. One is a priority. We must make it a priority to seek out holiness with God. There are many other things than this world that can have priority, that can have first place with our time. But we must not allow that to happen. Our first priority should be on seeking God and following Him. I believe that this take time also means that we must be willing to wait. We read the story, I think it's over in 1 Samuel. I won't turn over there because of time. Of Saul, when he was a young king. And he was told by Samuel to go and to wait for Samuel to come and to offer a sacrifice before Saul went into battle. And Saul went and he waited. 7 days he waited. So he was patient for 7 days. And the people were getting restless, and some of his people were leaving him because they were being oppressed by the Philistines. And Saul eventually decided to take the matter into his own hand. And he offered the sacrifice himself, which was a complete violation of what God had commanded him. And as soon as he started that sacrifice, who shows up but Samuel? And Samuel tells him he has acted very foolishly in rebelling against God. And because of that, he will not be able to keep the kingdom, because he said God was seeking a man after his own heart. And David is that example. When you think about David, was David willing to wait on the Lord? He certainly was. Remember, Saul wanted to kill David, and David had opportunity after opportunity to kill Saul. And David's response was he would not put his hand against the anointed of God. He waited until God saw that it was the proper time. And God took action, not David. Holy. He says, the song says, take time to be holy. What is holy? Holy is set apart for service to God. That which is special, set apart for service to God. Speak oft with thy Lord. 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, verses 16 through 18. Let me read that. 1 Thessalonians 5, 16 through 18. Rejoice always, pray without ceasing. In everything give thanks, for this is the will of God in Christ Jesus to you. Our prayer should be a continual part of our life. There should not be a time where we give up on prayer. That's what the song is encouraging us to do, to speak oft with the Lord. Abide in Him always. What does that mean? It means to live in Christ. And how can we do that? By reading His Word and making application of it to our lives. Feed on His Word. 1 Peter chapter 2. 1 Peter chapter 2 and verse 2 says, as newborn babes long for the spiritual milk which is without guile, that you may grow thereby unto salvation. That should be our attitude towards the Word of God. Just like a baby wants that milk. A newborn baby wants that milk. We've all seen it. What happens to a baby who doesn't get fed? Does a baby just quietly give up? No. The baby will scream with all of its might until it gets that milk. And that should be our attitude towards the Word of God. We should want it and desire it. Make friends of God's children. Romans chapter 12. Romans chapter 12 and verse 10. In love of the brethren, be tenderly affectioned one to another, in honor preferring one another. That should be our attitude towards our brethren. That we should have preference towards our brethren, and in honor preferring one another. Help those who are weak. Romans chapter 15, beginning in verse 1. Now we that are strong ought to bear the infirmities of the weak, and not to please ourselves. Let each one of us please his neighbor for that which is good unto edifying. For Christ also pleased not himself, but as it is written, the reproaches of them that reproach thee fell upon me. Our attitude towards those that are weak should be that we desire to help them, to bear their infirmities as much as we can, forgetting in nothing his blessings to seek. Remember, God will bless us best. All right? We must be accepting and thankful for His blessings on us. The children of Israel, when they were in the wilderness, did God provide food sufficient for them? Did He provide the best food for them? Yes, He did. Were they happy with it? Were they satisfied with it? No. They were constantly complaining and grumbling and wanting something different. And God called that rebellion. So it says, the song says, forgetting in nothing His blessings to seek. When we see that phrase, His blessings to seek, it's not our blessings. It's the blessings that God deems appropriate to send to us. And that's what we should be thankful for. The second stanza of the song, take time to be holy. The world rushes on. Look over in Luke with me in Luke chapter 17. Luke chapter 17. This is Jesus is being questioned about the future and about what is going to happen. And we're just going to read a few verses here, beginning in verse 26, Luke chapter 17. And as it came to pass in the days of Noah, even so shall it be also in the days of the Son of Man. They ate, they drank, they married. They were given in marriage until the day that Noah entered into the ark, and the flood came and destroyed them all. Likewise, even as it has come to pass in the days of Lot, they ate, they drank, they bought, they sold, they planted, they builded. But in the day that Lot went out from Sodom, it rained fire and brimstone from heaven and destroyed them all. After the same manner shall it be in the day that the Son of Man is revealed. In that day he that is on, shall be on the housetop and his goods in the house. Let him not go down to take them away, and let him that is in the field likewise not return back. Remember Lot's wife. Whoever shall seek to gain his life shall lose it, but whosoever shall lose his life shall preserve it. We don't know when the end of this life is going to be, but we had better be prepared for it. Because it will come when it doesn't seem to make sense to our feeble minds. We'll see people going on, rushing on, as the song says, in their normal life. Spend much time in secret with Jesus alone. Matthew chapter 6, verses 6 and 7. Matthew chapter 6. Jesus is talking to his disciples about prayer, and he says, But thou, when thou prayest, enter into thine inner chamber, and having shut thy door, pray to thy Father who is in secret. And thy Father who seeth in secret shall recompense thee. And in praying, use not vain repetitions, as the Gentiles do, for they think that they shall be heard for their much speaking. Our prayer, our approach to God, is something that we should do in our secret times. And we should dedicate time to that. We should make sure that we dedicate time to that. Abiding in Jesus, like Him thou shalt be. Romans chapter 12. We should all be familiar with this passage, but I'll read it. Romans chapter 12, verses 1 through 3. I beseech you, therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, to present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy, acceptable to God, which is your spiritual service. And be not fashioned according to this world, but be ye transformed by the renewing of your mind, that you may prove what is the good and acceptable and perfect will of God. Thy friends and thy conduct, His likeness, shall see. Matthew chapter 25, 31 through 44. I'm not going to read it because of time. But in that passage, we see the behavior of those who are following after God contrasted with the behavior of those who are not. The final stanza of the song, take time to be holy. Be calm in thy soul. Philippians chapter 4. Philippians chapter 4, beginning in verse 6. And nothing be anxious, but in everything by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving. Let your request be made known unto God, and the peace of God which passeth all understanding shall guard your hearts and your thoughts in Christ Jesus. Finally, brethren, whatsoever things are true, whatsoever things are honorable, whatsoever things are just, whatsoever things are pure, whatsoever things are lovely, whatsoever things are of good report, if there be any virtue and if there be any praise, think on these things. And Let me read verse 9 also. The things which ye both learned and received and heard and saw in me, these things do, and the God of peace shall be with you. We can be calm in our soul if we follow this approach. Each thought and each motive beneath his control. Mark chapter 7, Jesus tells us that the things that we do proceed from our heart. Out of the heart, we take action and we speak. And we need to keep our hearts under the control of God. Thus, led by his Spirit, Galatians chapter 5, verse 16 through 24, once again, I won't read it because of time, but I encourage you to read it. It talks about the fruits of the Spirit and the works of the flesh. And it defines for us what it means to be led by the Spirit of God. To fountains of love, thou soon shall be fitted for service above. 2 Timothy chapter 4, we began in 2 Timothy chapter 4, and I want to end the lesson here. 2 Timothy chapter 4, verses 6 through 8. Paul, knowing he was at the end of his life, he says, "For I am already being offered, and the time of my departure has come. I have fought the good fight, I have finished the course, I have kept the faith. Henceforth there is laid up for me the crown of righteousness, which the Lord, the righteous judge, shall give to me at that day, and not to me only, but also to all them that have loved his appearing." This is the attitude that we can and should have when we face the end of our life here on earth. I'd like us to sing this song, "Take Time to Be Holy." We're all familiar with it. We'll sing this song, and then after that, I'll extend the Lord's invitation. Domine, take time to be holy, speak of the Lord. Open your eyes and feel His word. Make friends of the trouble, help us alone. There's blessings to seek. Take time to be holy. The world else is out. Spend much time in secret with Jesus alone. Open in trouble. Let the shall find the present that will shall see. Turn to the world, be calm in the soul. Each third and each mortal, take control. Last weapon is God, to fountains of love. Last chance of the Father. This time I want to offer the invitation of the Lord. If you are here this morning and you need to respond, if you need to be baptized into Christ, that can happen. We have a baptistry with water in it right here. If you are a child of God and you have fallen and you need to make it right, we're here. And we can help you in any way that we can. So at this time, we invite you to come forward as we stand and sing.